Town of Morrow Planning Board, Monday, September 17th, 2018.
So, to the minutes of July 16, 2018, any additions, deletions, or corrections?
I have none.
Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I have a motion from Jerry. Do a second. And a second from John. Not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Should always wait 2 months because I'm there.
Abstentions? And we're going to wait on the August minutes.
Yep.
Come with the plan.
Okay, so we're moving them to next month.
Yeah, we won't.
We have to get there.
We won't be.
Yep. Yeah.
So we'll hold on to August 20 minutes. And for tonight, we'll have just a slight shift in the agenda. We're going to start with an update for Hudson Headwaters project. This was one that we had discussed at the August 20th meeting, and if there are any updates from Dick, he said he'd be back tonight. So,
yes.
Mr. Jones, do you have any updates for us?
Yes, we do. We had two outstanding items from August, one of which was the sign off or approval from the fire chief, which we received. The thing that we have not received yet is a sign off from the water department for the new hydrant location. We sent the information to him just about 2 weeks ago, and we haven't heard anything back yet. I was hoping someone could possibly light a fire under him.
I'll ask.
To get our response.
Could you refer to that? I worked in this last month's meeting. Tell me where the location you're looking for that fire.
I think the fire chief wanted us to add an additional hydrant.
A second hydrant?
Yes.
And did you buy the location that was?
Yes, it's been shown, and the fire chief was in agreement with it, but the water department had to sign off on it.
Sure.
Detail.
You know, you put it briefly, is it along Quartzville Road or is it along 9 or just curious?
I believe it's near the entry to 9. Yeah, it's near the entry to 9.
Okay.
We have one back on the back side of the site already.
So this is in addition to?
In addition to, yes. Yeah, we were within the limitations of the building code, which, you know, you're allowed to go 300 feet.
Right.
But we have coverage now, I think, less than 200 feet. So
it probably makes it more practical for them if they have to fight in 2 different
places. And we are a fully sprinkler building as well, so. And we have, I think, good fire protection systems, controls for the structure. The biggest item was the DOT review, and they got back to us about a week ago, and they accepted the traffic study. And with that, they basically accepted the driveway configuration as we currently have it. So we have no changes to make to that highway configuration. We had some minor detailing that they wanted us to address, and we're in the process of doing that. And it's basically in reference to the highway permit itself. So with that, we basically, at this point, have addressed all of the conditions. And based on the time of year, what we've done is we've broken the project down into packages, one of which is the site package. And what I'd like to be able to do is get an indication from the board. We know we can release it for bid, but if we get bids back, can we make an award and get started? The big priority for us right now is clearing and grubbing the site. It's an extensive area that's got to be cleared. That would be basically the initial step, because we know it's going to take probably in the neighborhood of a week to get that done, but we'd like to get a jump on that. With the DOT sign-off, right now we have site plans that are basically ready. The only thing that hasn't been approved is the hydrant. But we would like to get Mylars to the town planning board if we can get them signed. So I don't know how you want to handle that. So
typically, they come into our office, and we need two members to sign, a chairman and another member.
Okay.
And we call around as soon as the plans are there, ready for signature. So we can try and, preemptively, set up a procedure here. Because by my notes now, all the conditions are met.
And we didn't have any additional actions that we needed to take at this point, right?
Other than Dick coming to report, and he has done so faithfully since conditional approval.
And once all conditions were met, then we would receive final Mylars for signature.
Right.
Could you refresh my memory just quickly on your Mylar? Your entrance, or your cut into Route 9, is that ingress?
Yes.
So you approved that?
Okay. Yeah.
It's full movement.
I just want to see if they have okay.
It was shown as full movement.
Okay, awesome.
Now, the other thing I would recommend, Dick, is that we have on a project of this scale, it would probably be a good idea as a practical matter to have a pre-construction conference.
Yes, and we would intend to do that.
Okay.
Basically what you're doing is you're waiting for yes from Water Department, so that's
on the detail. Yeah.
If you need that, just start grubbing the place up. If he wants to start...
And we can let it out to bid. Our concern would be that we get bids back, and if we can't get the
How fast is that process from your end? 2 weeks?
We're probably going to give them two and a half, 3 weeks on the bid.
Well, we should have that done easily.
On the grubbing question, technically no, but as a practical matter, again, I prefer to have a pre-construction conference because that is part of the SWIP. I'd just like Matt to be aware, who the site contractor is, and just make sure that we get off on the right foot with, the silt fencing and the erosion control measures being installed, as per the plan. So that's the practical.
Can you foresee any reason why we would be able to get an okay from the Water Department?
I'm going to call tomorrow. I can't, especially if it's at the behest of the... Fire Department, I can't imagine. But I'll call tomorrow, and as soon as I hear Dick, I'm in at 9 a.m.
That's what I was going to suggest. I would suggest you could go ahead with your bid process.
Jesse has a cell phone. He's usually very good about picking up.
This was actually one of our conditions other than approval from Fire. Fire asked me to have something extra. So.
It kind of cascaded, so now you got another water hookup, and you need... Yeah, I get it.
So, any questions of us?
If I do get Jesse tomorrow and we get his okay, I'll call you, Ron, and we'll put the word out that the Mylars will be in for signature.
Yes, we'll get those prepared and get them down here. I'll let you know when they're coming.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you
very much. Thanks again for the update.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Our next item up then is a public hearing for T-Mobile for the System Road Water Tower. This is a special use permit that the planning board does as part of the public hearing and review. Maybe a quick update and overview for where we were and where you're at tonight.
Sure. What's next? I had bigger plans. I know somebody asked for it last month.
And just as a matter of recourse, too, I forgot to mention that if folks could please state their name and who they're with and address, then that'll help our recording.
Sure. My name is John Skolnick. I work with NBNC, an authorized agent at T-Mobile across upstate New York. I think the package that you guys got last month had a smaller set of plans, and some of them one of the bigger ones, which I can't name. Nothing changed on the plan. It's still the same design that we proposed. It's 8 antennas for the top of the tower, 12 by 20 ground space, which includes a 10 by 15 concrete pad within that ground space, which is within the fence compound of the water tank itself. A couple cabinets on the ground, miscellaneous equipment on the ground. There is no structure, it's just a concrete pad with some cabinets and equipment. The 8 panel antennas are on the top of the tower, mounted to the existing think it's a hammering on the top of the tower. The structural analysis was submitted last month, saying everything was good. And it's kind of where we left it last month. I did check a question from Mr. Shaver about the FAA beacon. It was a good question. It's one that really we haven't encountered before, but the beacon will need to be raised 2 feet, so it's 1 foot taller than the antenna. Yep, we've done a lot of water towers, and that question's never come up, so that was a good question. But it'll be a simple fix. It's just a conduit, like you said. The water tower, when the tower was built, the FAA approved it at 196 feet. The beacon, once raised 2 feet, will still be only 195. So it won't affect anything for the FAA filing. Everything's good for that. So, outside of that, I think there was a couple of things that Jim was checking out on the water department. Landscaping and painting of the antennas. I mean, we're open to that, but the water department wanted to do such. That was just an open item, I think. Any questions from the board?
I guess just one of the first questions out of the gate was whether we heard back from Jesse on those items.
No, I have not yet, but I'll check again.
There was actually three things. I'm just doing a quick check in a minute. One was the light.
Yep.
One was the fencing. The other one was snow removal.
And landscaping. Within the fence, right?
Yeah.
Or in the light, not fencing.
Landscape.
Painting the antennas. That's
not a question of whether we wanted to paint antennas.
We want to hold those questions up to the water department. I mean, we're fine with that. Water department. I mean, the painting, we've done that on sites. We've not done it on sites. The landscaping is why I referred back to the water department, because that is within the fence compound, and it could get the way of snow removal and things. But
I'll ask again. I mean, pending his, you know, getting confirmation from him.
And we make that a condition of the permit if the water department wants it, basically, because we're okay with it.
Yeah, the one other question was about the maintenance light bulb that he had over the pad, right? And we were just going to ask Jesse about that.
So yep.
Whether they wanted it later or just on the switch.
It's not a switch.
Not a switch.
Yeah, it's not a switch. It's only for when the technician's there. It's just a standard one bulb, basically.
Yeah.
Is there any damage that could be done to this in the snow and aqua tank?
No, because it's outside of the ball zone. I mean, the compound is big enough that where the water department wanted this on our initial design walk, it's kind of set back in the corner.
Okay.
It's away from visibility from the road, it's away from the towers. It's only from, I think, probably the snow removal because
some guys have snow control those tanks and tires.
Oh, it's working again. That was okay. It's set way back in the corner. So it's out of her reserve. That was the idea.
So you need to raise the light 2 feet.
Yes, it's at 192 feet right now.
It will be even with the
I'm sorry, 3 feet.
Okay.
I misspoke. It's at 192 now. The top of the antennas will be at 194.
Yep.
So we'll put the light at 195.
Okay,
yeah, the filing was 196, so
but T-Mobile or whoever they contact does.
I'm not exactly sure. We've got worked out of the water department, but we'll figure out when we're going.
Okay.
That would probably have to be a condition of the building permit, because the water department might want to raise their own height, but we'll work with them to make it happen.
Okay, and that will be on the drawing?
It's not on the drawing now, but we would propose making it a condition of the building permit, because, again, we're not sure if it's something we have to do.
Well, we had talked about getting some as-built drawings after you.
Yes, the plus or minus contours been removed.
Yeah.
We verified it through a survey, so we've got the ground elevation and the contour drawings, so those numbers are accurate.
That's all I had on my list, Ron.
This was from last month, so maybe you should enlighten me. What was the landscaping issue or idea?
More from a shield, a buffer, if you will.
You wanted to screen the view of the ground equipment there.
Okay.
That side, if you're familiar with it, is surrounded by trees.
Right.
The compound sits kind of offset from the access road, and where this is proposed is in the far back corner. And we're okay with landscaping, if the water department's okay with it, but I honestly don't think you're going to need is kind of already screened from the existing vegetation.
My personal prefer fence being open. Visible to what's going on there.
Right.
Why don't we give Jesse the opportunity?
Yeah.
And he doesn't wait.
You don't want too much to take care of it, so.
Right.
Couple of other things that the code requires by the applicant is that written notification be provided to a few folks, some of them being municipalities that border the town, as well as nearby landowners. Have they all been provided and made at this point?
Town.
And I think you have some
people. Last month.
Okay, so.
And I think there are some people here for the public hearing.
Okay, but we did that.
Yes.
No. And then, how about the performance bond? Is that all set to?
I guess, have to give us a number of whatever it is, and we'll produce that for the building.
Okay.
That's going to be how it works.
All right, so with that, we will go ahead and open the public hearing for T-Mobile. Folks that are here that are interested in asking a question, I want to ask that you please state your name, where you live, for purposes of recording, and we'll ask folks to maintain a sense of decorum throughout the process. So with that, we'll open it up to folks that have a question about the T-Mobile System Road Water Tower applications.
Well, Kathy and Gary Bennett, we live directly across from the Blue Tower. I wonder if this is going to be the existing light that's raised. It's not going to be a strobe light or anything like that, right? It's going to be the same light that's there now, just raised.
You're talking on top of the tower?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the intent would be to just raise the light and throw it to the light. Basically, raise it to 3 feet.
And then my only other concern is there any electronic emissions that they produce?
No, no. I mean, these are standard cell tower antennas. There's an emissions report that T-Mobile does for all of its sites. It's an internal document that we check the emissions. And there's an emissions engineer of, I think it's Georgia or North Carolina, that does it for they do it across the country, hundreds of sites every year. And this like site, like every other site, was compliant. It's below the whatever the standard threshold is. So that report was, we always look at just to make sure. But these antennas are also 190 feet in the air. Any emissions would be within close proximity. So
they'll be right at the top.
They're on the very top of the tower. Yeah. The tower is 190 feet.
Right. How many antennas are there?
There's 8 antennas right now. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's
okay, my name is Pat Frederick, Patricia Frederick. I live in Queensbury, but I have property at 49 to 53 Simpson Road. My only concern was because I wasn't sure, I was envisioning antennas way above the light and way above the tower, and that they would interfere with the flight path of planes that come through, because that has been a place for flight path for airplanes since forever, going from coming up from Albany over to Brunswick Airport, and planes are always flying over. So I had a concern about that. That's all.
Yep. Another standard report that T-Mobile always does for every site is an airspace analysis. It did show flight paths for that area, but this tower, as well as the antennas, are below the threshold that the FAA has approved for this area. For that specific structure, so you're good on that. The beacon itself is actually voluntarily put by the town; it wasn't even required by the FAA. So that's all good.
Yeah, to your point, you're raising the top of the structure.
The light itself. It's called an appurtenance,
yeah.
Like a lightning rod. Same thing. And the FAA is, when that tower was built, the updated filing that was done was for 196 feet. That tower structure itself, top is a tank, is at 190 feet. The antennas will go to 194 feet. And the beacon will be 195 feet. So you're still below that approved threshold.
Any other questions?
Or else we can
Well, he really wants to know if there's a remote
disturbance. We're making the remote stronger. Don't mess up like Gabriel.
Different frequency.
Let's use your remote on your phone now.
I was in here last month. But I've noticed that if you're at the Kmart Plaza in Kingsburg, you can't see the tower from that location. So it's amazing where you can barely see it on System or even on Bluebird Road. But in Queensbury, you can see it.
And that was one of the discussions that we had last month in terms of the view portion of the review and see that we were here in a minute that locally it doesn't really have much of an impact.
But you can see South of the road from Queensbury.
Did you have a question, Tom?
No.
Mike or John, anything on
that?
All right, so we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And with that, we'll move into the secret review next. Did you have one thing you want me to use soon?
Right? Yep.
You have part one already, so we're actually the application.
Yep.
And then, somewhat unusual this time, but appropriate, they did visual AF too. So I would just ask the members if they have any comments on part one or part three, visual AF.
Can I borrow your part one for a second?
Yep.
And ask you a question back?
Yep.
Maybe the problem here.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So, is that what we should be doing?
Yeah, it should be a long form. Yep, that's correct. It says long form. Wasn't there, it was either or, was it?
I'm referring to, and thanks for bearing with us, because we don't have these are today, right?
No, that's fine.
So F2 and 149-50.1, this is in the site plan review submission requirements section, and it talks about supporting documentation. And it says, applicant shall submit a completed long form EAF, completed visual EAF documentation of the total intent and capacity of use, as well as the case of the height of any tower location for clearing required. Applicant shall also submit a copy of its FCC license.
Is that for a new tower or a new structure, this being a co-location and an existing structure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was towers. That was the same. I mean, it wasn't discussed at the board, but at the very, very beginning when we,
as opposed to the share of used on existing tall structures. And so in that case, you're referring to C1D, which is a completed short DAF.
Okay.
And completed DAF. Okay, you're right.
Thank you. For a minute.
Thank you. Oh, thanks, because I appreciate that. All right, we're back on track. So with that,
I like that.
I was stalling for John.
Well, you said he's going to let me off easy, so you had a test with me.
Sorry.
The stress test. You know,
it is good. So part one refers to this as the T-Mobile Northeast LLC, East Town Road Water Tank, and the name of the action for the project is T-Mobile Postal Communication. Co-location on Town and Row Water Tank at 39 System Road in Town and Row. Board, any questions, comments, concerns on part one? Questions 1, 2, 3? Everybody have a copy?
Yes, I do.
The only question I have is on the brief description.
Yep.
The last sentence says the antenna will be mounted at a center line height of 190 feet from the tank top.
You're in the first paragraph for a brief description.
So last sentence.
You see what you're talking about, Jeff?
I actually don't have a copy of it either.
I think it must be an edit of it.
The top of the tower is on it.
And we've said the antennas are now maybe at 194.
The top
center line.
Well, maybe that's it.
Center line would be the center of the tank on the top, which is 190 feet, right?
That's only a high though.
But it's actually showing the proposed, the top of the tank.
I'm confusing everybody. I misspoke. Yep. The top of the tank, the top of the handrails are 188 feet.
Right, okay.
The center line is at 191. I'm sorry.
Okay.
My fault.
Good.
How's it going?
We're good.
Feeling good?
Anything else from the report? Page 2, and 5 through 17. You good there?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Okay. And then page 33 is items 18 through 28.
Okay, I need to back up just a second. We're cruising through here really fast. Page 2, question 12B. Is the proposed action located in an archaeologically sensitive area? I may have missed this last week.
Was this one in auto flag based on where it was?
Correct.
Nothing you're doing is going to negatively impact the archaeological site. I just was curious why that one.
No, that was an auto flag when you do the EAF on the flip side.
Okay.
Have you been doing the excavation for the pad?
Like 6 inches for stone, yeah. But within an established area that's already been struck. Yep.
You're actually built there.
That was all built.
Yeah, built up.
Right.
So you're finding the archaeological.
Right. We good now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just curious.
Do you think you're pointing anything there for? Part 2 is for the board. This is going to ask us in terms of the overall impact. Do that one next, Jim, or is that coming?
Yeah, I would do that next, because technically speaking, they filled that out for you, but you should affirm what the responses are and if you agree with them.
Okay. Sorry, so this visual EAF portion refers to the application and the project visibility as it relates to these various items or areas, and then it breaks it between and the distance between the project and that particular resource in miles. So either 0 to 1/4, 1/4 to 1/2, 1/2 to 3 miles, 3 to 5 miles, or over 5 miles. Okay? So the first question is, would the project be visible from a parcel of land which is dedicated to and available to the public for the use, enjoyment, and appreciation of natural and man-made scenic qualities? The response was 1/2 to 3. Are you good with that?
So that means that somewhere between 1/2 to 3 miles away, there's a park.
I think it was referred to the school.
This is school, the school.
And Harris Town is
actually Harris Town.
This
would
have been 1/2 to 3, though.
Is that considered to be, that's not a parcel of land dedicated to and available to the public for use, enjoyment, appreciation, natural, man made.
No, I think it
would be. That would be Grove State Park.
Grove Rack. Would that have been 3 miles? I think it is. It's just an over to wherever we're looking, and some patch right up to it. It's got to be the next one's an older one.
Again,
There's no overlook in the
room. I'm not saying I'm an expert at all on this, but is that dedicated to the public for the use, enjoyment, appreciation of natural or man-made scenic qualities?
I think the whole
I'm not really parsing it. I think it's more than that. So, like, I'm looking at half to three. I would say that's more of a state park. The outlook up on top of the river.
That's covered under state parks.
Yeah, I was going to say there's more questions that cover the park.
At 5+
acres.
So we can leave that one?
I would add this. Just.
Okay, so question two is an overlook parcel or parcel of land dedicated to public observation, enjoyment, and appreciation of natural or man-made scenic qualities. Half to three. Okay. Question three is a site or structure listed on the National or State Registers of Historic Places. Didn't have anything to say.
But that should have been, because we've got Park Country House as a state and national historical register place.
So that'd be in the half of three, you think?
Half of three, yes.
Is it visible?
No. I doubt it's visible. I doubt the parcel land from the other one is visible.
No. I don't think any of this is until you get to state parks. And now we're looking at the state park, you can see it.
So for question three, do you want to leave it blank, or do you want to...
I'm going to actually say distance between... You've got to go 5+ on the site, structure, national, state, registered, historic places for the Ulysses S. Grant. Copy. You can see it from there.
Go to 5+?
Yeah. 5+.
Are you sure? I think so.
Yeah.
5+ for sure, but you can definitely see it from up there.
Yeah. For state parks, question 5+.
Yeah.
State Forest Preserve, 5+.
In that zone, yeah.
National Wildlife Refuge and State Game Refuge, 5+.
There is one in 100 miles. But sure.
That's more than 5.
Yeah.
It's more than 5.
That's for sure.
Fair enough. National Landmarks and other outstanding natural features, 5+.
Yeah.
National Park Service Lands, 5+.
Yeah.
Rivers designated as national or state wild, scenic, or recreational.
Well, plus the river is closer than 3 miles.
It's a half.
So that's good. Any transportation corridor of high exposure, such as part of the interstate system, or Amtrak, 5+.
Well, Amtrak's closer than 5+. And I've never been to Amtrak before, so I don't know if you can see the water tower in there.
It was 87, less than 5 miles.
It is less
than 87, less than 5 miles.
Was that 3-5?
Yeah.
A governmentally established or designated interstate or in-county foot trail or one formally proposed for establishment or designation.
Is it?
Inter-county foot trail.
There is something that's just been passed by between the three communities about a trail between Glens Falls, between Moreau and Hudson Falls, over there by the Fenimore Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on with the padded up path.
All right, well, they've got half the three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Sorry.
I think it should be half the three.
Okay. A site, area, lake, reservoir, or highway designated as scenic. Half to three.
Good.
Question.
Good.
Municipal park or designated open space. Half to three.
Yeah.
Good. County road, 1/4 to a half.
Mm-hmm.
State road, half to three.
State road.
32.
And then local road is 0 1/4.
Yeah.
It's good. Is the visibility of the project seasonal, i.e. is it screened by summer foliage but visible during other seasons? Yes or no?
No.
Are any of the resources checked in question one used by the public during the time of year during which the project will be visible? Yes or no?
Yes.
Item 4 is a description of the existing visual environment.
Let me try to check the question. I want to check those that generally describe the surrounding environment. And the responses are either within a quarter mile or within 1 mile. Essentially undeveloped. Responses less than a quarter, within a quarter mile. Is that good?
Yeah, within a quarter mile.
Forested, within a quarter mile. Agricultural. Nothing within even a mile.
No.
Good?
Yeah.
Suburban residential, within a mile.
There's suburban residential close to
right there. Is it within a quarter?
Yeah, I think.
So swap that over
here. So there we go. So
I think we got them all.
Yeah. So we'll swap that one within a quarter mile. Industrial, within a mile.
Less than the industrial park right there on the back side.
Down Hoover.
It's on the back side of that property.
Within a quarter, though?
I'm pretty.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say in the industrial park right on the back side of that?
It's within a mile.
Okay.
Leave that one at a mile?
Okay.
Okay. Commercial within a mile?
That's
industrial.
UNH, up on Forever Road.
Where the Union Hall is? Is that commercial?
I don't know.
It's not zoned commercial. You're talking about the former Union Hall?
Yeah, where UNH is and then the former one. Right, that's it. Is that commercial?
I think it's a historic commercial use, but that's not a commercial zone.
I think you would fall for it.
No, there is commercial in the mall. Is this auto populating in?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Urban. River, lake, or pond within a mile. Cliff or overlook. Designated open space.
Where? Within a quarter mile of that. Is it designated open space?
Or within a distance of that at the moment. Nothing within a mile of these.
Oh, I'm sorry. I crossed over. Yeah. Last.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, I'm mistaken.
Any designated open space? Anymore?
Not within a mile.
Anything within a quarter mile that's flat? Don't suggest. Anything within a mile that's hilly?
Okay. What about your access space for the electric company on Forever Road? Where they just did a big project last year. But have they designated open space?
No, not
in the context of what this is referring to.
Designated open space would be a space that's in some way deemed to have to be left open
or rarely.
So.
Yeah. Anything mountainous within a mile?
No other.
No. Five. Are there visually similar projects within? And the responses range from half a mile to 3 mile. First one is half a mile, yes or no? No. First, next one was a mile, yes or no? No. 2 miles, yes or no? No. 3 miles, yes or no?
I would guess.
Yeah.
I would guess within 3 miles, probably.
Where's Bowman Road?
That's what. Well, I was going to say the one in the village.
Yeah.
That's the one in the village.
That's the one
located.
That makes sense.
And there's a tenant at the Tom Highway Department.
And on Nolan Road.
Yeah, I don't think Nolan was within 3 miles.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty close.
Yes, it's right on Bluebird. Bluebird stops and turns into Nolan.
Route 9 to the Nolan Road one's at least a mile.
Okay.
It's quite a bench. I didn't know the village one had, and I would assume they would have guessed, but...
So we'd have to give the within a mile a guess?
No, within 3 miles.
Oh, okay. So just change that out?
Yeah, I think within 3 miles we've got it. All right, yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Exposure. The annual number of viewers likely to observe the whole project is blank.
That's a lot. You couldn't get that number within 5 or 10?
Plus or minus being replaced. When user data is unavailable or unknown, you might access that.
Yes, I'm not sure.
Annual number of people who are going to look at that. But how many people are going into Kmart?
Well, the question is it the number of people who might observe it or who actually do?
Right. That's the thing.
I mean, there's a certain number of hundreds of people that are going to drive past that.
I think that what this is trying to capture is if somebody's got a consistent view shed, is this, you know, blocking it or in the way of it or in that line of sight?
Right, of course. You know, I don't think anybody at Kmart in Queensbury is going to go, hey, there's 10 tenants on the tower now.
Mike says less than 10.
I think that's a reasonable answer.
I think that's generous as far as the number of people are even going to notice.
Very good. The context, the situation or activity in which the viewers are engaged while viewing the proposed action is described in terms of frequency, daily, weekly, holidays and weekends, or seasonally. Travel to and from work, daily. Involved in recreational activities seasonally. Sure. Routine travel by residents daily. Okay. At a residence daily. Okay. At a work site weekly. Another.
Other than watching planes on flight at the Warren County Airport, maybe you'd like me to maybe see the
internet. Part two is completed by this board, and for each question and response is either no or small impact or moderate to large impact. Question one, will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? No. Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land?
No.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community?
No.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area?
No.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway?
No.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities?
No.
Will the proposed action impact existing A, public/private water supplies?
No.
B, public/private wastewater treatment utilities?
No.
Number eight, will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources?
No.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, for example, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, and fauna?
No.
Then, will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems?
No.
11. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health?
No.
Part three is our determination of significance, and before I ask the board to give me a determination, this is when we like to ask members of the public if they know of anything else related to the site that might cause us concern. And as Peter would say, if he was here, does anybody know Mike Well in the Dark? Hearing that, board, have a determination.
Motion for new declaration on the short form EAF for T-Mobile System Road Water Tower.
I have a motion by John for a negative declaration. Do I have a second?
Awesome.
And I have a second by Reed. Any further discussion? You call the roll, please.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, our next item of business is as it relates to the special use permit. Is there a template that we're supposed to follow that you have for us for that, Jim? Or
I have the usual one.
And is that what we should use in this case?
Yep. Yep, and it's basically trying to accommodate, it acknowledges the secret neg deck that you just did, and then if there's any conditions on the approval.
Okay, and so as part of that motion, then, do we have to be specific or deliberate in terms of...
I would go through the, oh, I see your point. I would go through the criteria that's listed.
Doesn't tell me in terms of semantics, like how I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Is it the standard in 149.32?
What's it say, Jay?
It's the review standard for special use permits.
Is that what?
That's in the zoning.
Right.
So I'm thinking that way.
I'm just double checking to make sure there's not.
A different set for planning to use.
I don't see anything exceptional in the telecommunications section, so I would say yes. We would use the criteria for special use permit.
You can really get to read them, or you can't have to do that. There's an A, B, C, D.
Yep.
And as considered, I guess with this exercise, you might.
No. Yeah. All right. 149.32 review standards. In reviewing a special permit, the zoning board or planning board shall find that the following conditions are met before issuing a special permit. A1. The use shall be of such location, size, and character that it will be in harmony with the appropriate and orderly development of the district in which it is situated and will not be detrimental to the orderly development of adjacent districts or reduce property values.
And so for this exercise, then, I guess what we're doing then, Jim, is we're basically reading in the record
right.
How does the board feel about this, and then we'll...
Right, and do you think this meets that criterion?
Right, and then we'll have a resolution at the end.
Correct, with any exceptional conditions.
Got it. I go forward. Are you in agreement that I...
Yes.
A2. The location and size of the use, the nature and intensity of the operations involved in or conducted in connection therewith, its site, layout, and its relation to the streets giving access to it, shall be such that traffic to and from the use and the assembly of persons in connection with it will not be hazardous or inconvenient to the neighborhood or conflict with the normal traffic of the neighborhood. I don't believe as well.
Right.
I agree. Okay. B. In applying these standards, the board shall consider, among other things, convenient routes of pedestrian traffic, particularly of children, relation to main traffic thoroughfares, and to street and road intersections, and the general character and intensity of development in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Well,
it doesn't apply.
Right, and I'm thinking that as far as the intensity of use, again, should be, there's a small amount of construction, right. And I can't imagine there's a lot of upkeep on this. I say, I think we're okay there. C, the board may apply such conditions and safeguards to the permit as are appropriate to protect the public health, welfare, ecology, and safety. The board may also provide that any special permit granted hereunder shall be limited in time to not less than 3 years, which permits could be renewed upon application to the Board of Appeals upon showing that no adverse conditions have occurred. So I believe the conditions we had talked about were getting a set of as-bills after the project was completed. As far as limiting the amount of time on the permit, it's good for. We're allowed to do it. But I think if we do that, then it requires the applicant to be here again and get this special permit renewed at the end of that period.
Do you have any advice for us on that, then, Jim?
In terms of, say that again?
Limiting the amount of time that the permit is good for.
Well, Jeff, I'll appeal to you on that. I mean, what is your expected?
In a perfect world, we would like to build this by the end of the year. However, in a non-perfect world, T-Mobile, like a lot of carriers, run into supply issues for equipment. So I would ask for a minimum of a year. Well, and a lot of our leases, we actually set up 18 months under an option.
We cannot be less than 3 years.
I was going to say, well, for the purposes of this, why wouldn't it sunset simultaneous with the lease? Wouldn't that be, you know?
We just aren't allowed to give a permit for any less than 3 years.
No, I understand. And I'm saying for the purposes of this.
If you're talking about when the special permit would expire.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're saying a minimum of 3 years, that covers for what we're looking to do.
What's your lease agreement with Tom?
Lease agreement is for a 5-year term with five-year renewals, so basically 30 years.
So 30 years.
I would say to structure it so it mirrors the lease agreement with the town.
Okay.
Because anything in conflict, you're going to create all sorts of problems.
Right. Whereas if it mirrored that,
not unless there's something that you found that, you know, requires you to, or warrants deviating from that, I would say stay with the lease terms.
Yeah. Does that make sense to you, Jerry?
It does.
Yes, it does to me too.
So will that the time frame of the permit here, the terms of the special use permit?
So when does the lease expire? I didn't hear what you said.
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up.
I think as long as you're renewing the lease.
Yeah, the lease was just signed by the town in August.
Okay.
So it's 5 years from now. But it's got an automatic renewal for each of them.
And so with this permit, that's what he's saying, to make it near the lease agreement.
Yeah, so if you made it 30 years to go along with the lease, then that covers it.
Well, no, we're saying 5 years.
And then
as long as the permit automatically renews, because the lease will automatically renew. That's if it's stated in the lease, it's an automatic.
I would just say, as per the lease agreement.
Yeah.
I just want to think, if I think about that, businesses come and go, someone buys T-Mobile. My understanding is a special use permit goes with property.
Not unless you condition it that it does not. It usually runs with the land.
Yeah. So I just want to think a lot of terms. How do we word this? If we say it's the lease between T-Mobile and the town of Monroe, and then, you know, X-Mobile comes in and
buys
T-Mobile, and then
Or an assignee.
Well, the way the lease is set up is if someone goes by T-Mobile, for example, and who's to say within 30 years what's going to happen,
right?
But the lease would continue as an assignee to the new buyer or whoever, because the value of anybody buying T-Mobile is the network.
Right.
So they would want the network to continue.
That's the
biggest so all leases are set up for that to happen.
The biggest part of the asset is.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the lease or the assignee.
Yep.
All right, the last review standard. An appellate granted a special permit shall be given 90 days in which to diligently begin to put into effect the use permitted by the granted permit. Although the planning board can increase this period from 90 days up to 1 year at its discretion.
That's what I was talking about earlier as far as
concerned. You would like 1 year, up to 1 year?
I would like up to 1 year, yeah. That that gives the kind of won't be equipped.
I don't know.
Their intent is to build it by the end of the year. You run into the weather issues and you run into the supply issues that make it kick in the end of the first quarter.
Or any issues with the one year. Was that the list, Jack?
That's it.
Now it's up to the board to take action, pass a resolution on the issuance of a special use permit with some of these conditions in mind.
I think you also have, painting is outstanding as per the desire of the water department, and the vegetation around the fence. That was all I had left.
So just so I'm clear, you've extended the special use of cohabiting antennas on this water tower for 30 years.
Correct.
That doesn't extend for other antennas added in the future.
No, it does not.
It's a site plan that we're approving at this point in time.
It's only for these eight specific.
Their 70 and 80 antennas. They still have to come in front of us.
Right.
But if they were to just leave these on, it would be okay for 30 years.
Correct. Any additional antennas would require another special use permit.
Okay. And any other companies adding to it.
Correct.
Them to come in front of us because it's based on the site plan that we're approving.
Right. And that was one of the other questions at the last meeting. Were these being installed in such a manner that additional antennas could be placed? And the answer was yes. Okay.
Cohabiting these things is amazing. That's a tremendous win-win for everybody. You're not putting up a new tower. You don't have to put up a tower. We don't have to look at another tower. So it's a great idea. We just want to make sure we cover our bases on that.
Any other questions for before we take action?
So if I'm clear on this, the light, as far as lifting the light, which is a minor thing, we're leaving that because we don't know whether the water department's going to be responsible to want to do it or T-Mobile's going to want to do it, but...
We're going to have a condition.
You can condition that it needs to be done, it's just determine who's going to
do it. The condition is that it needs to be done, not who needs to do it.
We'll have a site construction, pre-construction thing, and
they'll
figure it out.
And when we reference the fact that we want to see an as-built, the conclusion of the project is a reference to the fact that that light's also going to get raised. And the motion
I'll second that.
Motion by Jerry and second by Rita. Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Chairman?
Shall concur. Motion carries. That was a very good motion, by the way.
Yes. Did you smell my best work?
I'm not so, let's see. In this case, we don't have nothing else for us to review or sign, I don't think, is it?
That's correct. On this one.
What I missed, Jack?
No,
we're
not really denied it. So, special permit allows us to pull the building. I've already been in the building departments.
Yep.
Good. So,
that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Alright, so next item up is a public hearing for Maria's home. Is that plan review?
Jim, in our packet, did you get it updated?
Tonight we got an updated map that it just came with the because one of the conditions coming out of the last meeting was the applicant was to approach the fire department and see what they thought of the driveway entrance as a means to park their apparatus, and they came back requesting a second driveway on Fawn Road, and so that's what's shown on the revised plan. And so it's essentially a connecting through driveway. You can have access from Fawn Road through to Wurtsville Road.
What I'm asking is, how can I know which? How can I tell that correct?
Because if that driveway is shown, you've got the most recent.
Off of Fawn Road.
Correct. Yeah, they had a difficult time connecting, and then once they did, the chief wanted some time to review it. And about what now?
I'm glad the driver was brought up last month in my absence because I had some concerns about that.
Yep, that was one of the items.
I have another map here which also doesn't have the map, or drivers and farmers to. Or so.
Yeah.
So I have two maps that don't do that. Oh, wait. Right, so you have a new driveway coming off next to the hydrant coming over here.
So that's where they said they wanted it, apparently. Because we also have a letter attached to that from the, or I think it was an email.
So now there's a driveway behind all of the trailers, between them, from towards Fawn Road, but it's dead end.
Well, that's a question. Do you want it to, or do you want it to connect through?
I guess the question is, what's the point of this driveway? Is it for fire access?
Yes, strictly fire.
So the fire company's going to want a driveway that long, 20 feet wide, that dead ends?
That's what they wanted. He looked at the map and he got it out himself. He showed me where he went.
Is that what it said in the letter?
Yes.
You have a copy of the letter. It says, Mr. Combs, I'm writing today to give you my thoughts regarding your project located at the corner of Fawn and Fortsville Road. It is my opinion that the fire company, it would be best if, in addition to the plans you provided me, you made the following changes. Provide an additional entrance from Fawn Road just west of the fire hydrant. Make all roadways in and out a minimum of 12 feet wide. Provide adequate parking spaces to prevent cars from parking in entrances / roadway. Thank you for providing me the opportunity to review the plan and provide comment. If there's anything else you need, please, or anything else you need from me, please let me know. Thank you, Nicholas Quinn.
Based on what you said, what is Mr. Combs doing to prevent vehicles parking along that road, that pathway?
I don't know who would be parking there. The tenant, anybody who's living up on the Portville Road site, they have their own parking lots. I don't know why anybody would be parking that far away.
Okay, but it's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If I could ask a question, and it might address that, because I agree with your concern. Okay. Are any of these mobile homes more than 300 feet from the road?
No.
I hate to question the fire chief because he knows his stuff. But you could pretty much hit most of these from the road. I mean from standing on the road, not with a hose dragged from the road, but I mean from standing on the road. So I'm wondering why. What I see here, just so you know, my personal opinion is a bad thing happened because you've got a 20-foot wide driveway in the middle of the woods behind seven mobile homes.
Oh, three.
I absolutely know there's seven. There's four on Farm Road, three on Portsville Road, and I absolutely see people parking on this. I see people parking stuff on it, storing stuff on it. Not you, but other people.
The tenant. I see it's a space. It's a flat surface, and there's a road somebody's going to put something there.
Well, the only thing I would say, John, is this is advisory. You ask for it, you don't have to take it. I mean, you don't have to take it.
I like the idea of widening the driveways. Not only for the fire department, but to be honest with you, so two vehicles can pass by, because we have three shared driveways here. All right. Now, I'm sure there's not a lot of traffic passing each other, but it would be nice if people could.
If this is on paper, so it's 14 feet wide, it's really more than 30 feet.
Yeah, well.
It's more than 30. We have to put 14 by 70 mobile home in front of those lots.
Right, but if it's on this map, it'll be a driveway. And it'll be required that you have it built for a driveway, at least the width that you show. Okay. So, I mean, honestly, I'd like to see that be 16 feet or 20 feet for each of these driveways, but not necessarily a 20-foot wide. I mean, this has got to be 300 feet, 400 feet long, and it dead ends with no hammerhead. Why would the fire department want to take a truck in there and then have to, what, back it out? And, I mean, it would seem kind of foolish. Unless, if for some reason all seven trailers started on fire at the same time, then it would make sense because you want to be in the center there so you could fight the fire. But I mean, in general, all of these trailers you can pretty much hit from the road. So I'm a little uncomfortable with that driveway as it's proposed.
Actually, the two firemen that I talked to that came down there first, they said they would never take a fire truck off the road. In fact, right on Portsville Road, there's a hydrant right there, said we never take it past here. Mm-hmm. But the fire chief said in the book it says we have to have access from a different direction.
I see their point of view.
He said you stop right in front of them. They're 50 feet from the road.
So instead of keep talking about it, it's a proposed idea we don't have to accept. Understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
The other thing I would bear in mind is remember. Well, maybe what I'm thinking of this. When this was, the public hearing was held for the special use permit with the zoning board, there was a proposal at one time to have some homes situated along Fawn Road.
Right.
And the residents in that area were very resistant to that idea, and that's what precipitated the change of placing them all along Forestville Road and leaving the natural woods as they are, as a buffer.
Right.
This is going to kind of mess that up and remove some of that screening that you're going to get from the trees that are there. Traffic-wise, if these are in fact connected, you get opportunities for cut-through. And this becomes a way through, particularly given the fact that Fawn Road is essentially a dead-end road. It's one way in only from Route 9. So, I don't know. I can see some firefighting benefit, but there are other factors to consider is my only point. It's not a slam dunk, in my opinion.
I just see that this is going to cause more problems than solve problems.
Because I think your point's well taken, that, you know, your initial point that they in all likelihood, park the trucks on Fortsville Road and apply the water from the roadside.
And like John said, too, in addition to the access concerns at all, it could also create storage challenges.
I see. If it's available, people use it.
Right.
It's just human nature.
Anything else that you can tell us why I'm not allowing it?
When this gentleman spoke in front of the questions, was it for 10?
The initial was a request for, initially it was for 10, and then that was, I think, essentially denied. That was before my time here. And then when I started to pick this up, the special use permit came in for the 50% expansion rule, which in this case there were 7 original, so you were permitted 3.5, and they rounded it down to 3. And that's why we came up with 3 homes.
So now there's going to be 10 in this.
3 new and, yes, the 7 existing.
So that kicks in Section 96.3 and becomes a mobile home park.
And that's why in one of our previous meetings, we had the lots combined, so we met the density standard for a mobile home park. I think it's 1 per 9,000 square feet, so he has more than enough space for what he wants to do.
So it'll file as a mobile home park. Based on our zone.
Correct. It's for all practical purposes, yeah, it's a mobile home park now at this point. That's correct. And then the other issue that was discovered, you know, Mike was asking about the septic. And this was an older letter, again, that was before my time, but there was a letter provided from DOH saying they want to see the septic beds modified in terms of the soils. That would have been caught at the building permit application time anyhow, because that would have been part of mass review, but still nonetheless, DOH did want to see the septic beds modified, and at that time they were shown on the other side of the home, not on the roadside.
So going back momentarily to the proposed driveway thing, if getting another angle at the fire is the main goal here, I would propose that the first driveway just up from the hydrant heading northwest, Bond Road, that goes to a single home, that one could be made 20-foot wide and hammerheaded at the end, and then go straight in and shoot from that hammerhead and get the backside of those 3 homes. Right. The only problem is, once again, you get the problem that you're probably going to have people doing drive-through traffic, you know, especially with those driveways all being on the back of those other mobile homes, instead of turning out on Fortsville Road, just coming off of Fawn Road. So.
Plus, that's a bad turn at Fawn Road where it intersects with Fortsville. It's a sharp angle turn.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I could see the driveway issue going either way. I could.
Where's the nearest? Here's another possible angle. Where's the nearest hydrant to those 3 homes on Fortsville Road?
Right in front of them. Let's see. Oh, to the right by the first bus post in front of
them. See, the other thing to bear in mind in terms of.
So there is a hydrant right there.
There's a hydrant right there in Northville Road.
In terms of pulling apparatus off of Fawn Road, there are. There's 3 existing driveway cuts shown on Fawn Road. Right. I mean.
Well, Fawn's a one-way road.
No, it's not.
It's well, two-way to a point.
It's yeah. two-way, but it's a dead end on the lawn.
Oh,
so.
It's an entrance. It's an entrance in only from room.
Yeah, it's not like it's
one way in.
Right. Fortune Road would be a bigger issue, but still, that has plenty of acreage at County Highway.
I mean, and this is so tight in there. I mean, when you look at the scale, this it's 1 inch equals 60 feet. If somebody, if a truck were parked on Fawn Road, they want to, you know, fight this from multiple angles. It, across this whole width of this triangle here is what, maybe 180 feet in total. So it's 90 feet from either direction.
So how about instead of that road, we proposed what I mentioned earlier, and that's on that one driveway that goes past the single mobile home. We just had to put a driveway pad at the back of that so they could pull a fire truck in and park it to shoot the back all four or all seven of them then.
Give you that extra access.
That would give them their extra angle. You just have to put a sign there that the mobile home renters understand that they're not allowed to park crap back there.
Right.
This is fire truck emergency use only.
Yeah. That's a good compromise.
Yes. I think this driveway in behind all those homes is just going to become a great place for everybody to park their crap.
Well, if you put them in between two mobile home parks, you're not allowed to get through there to get one burner. You know what I'm saying? You're saying this road right here is 14 feet. You want to buy an L? I mean, if one of these mobile homes is going, you won't be able to get back in there. You know what I'm saying? You won't be able to put a piece of that address.
No, actually, let's talk about the Fawn Road.
Oh, yeah.
And then put a hammerhead back here. So if they can come in, park right here, hit these
yeah.
three, hit those.
That
would be a better alternative than that big, long, unattended road.
You could have a locked gate with the keys. Fire department has the keys.
I think it, honestly, if you just have signs, you own the place.
Yes.
You have signs if you drive by and you see them parking stuff there, you tell them it's going to be towed. Get it out of there. And most people will honor it if they know it's on fire.
Another better thing is it's all for older people. Just try and have all two bedrooms, and they're people 55 and older. Usually they behave better than
But we don't have that stipulated on here.
Yeah, okay.
So if we have to think beyond you. You seem like a nice person, but you might sell it next year to somebody who won't be doing that. So we have to think beyond that.
So some years down the road, it's possible that is
putting all two bedrooms and half threes.
Right. Would you be willing to do that, though? That one driveway, you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
At the end of that, put in a nice hammerhead. You know what a hammerhead is?
Yes.
Okay, nice hammerhead. They pull a fire truck up in. And then back it, turn around and drive back out up there right behind the other trailer, or up behind the other trailer's parking area.
Okay. Yes. From which way?
From Fawn. That one road.
Yes.
The driveway that's all by itself going to the one mobile home.
Okay.
You know which one
we can have it. Any way you need it, we can have it.
Okay.
You have a sort of
how wide, John?
That one should be 20 feet. Talk about fire apparatus, and you'd like them to be able to get in and out past each other because they may not be running hoses from there.
We've got it down for 30 anyway. So
yes.
And is your website that road around?
That road, yeah, so I was just going to get to that. That road in specific, I would say, should be required to be able to handle an 85,000-pound vehicle.
Oh, sure.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
Yeah, they're heavy.
I think that's what they tell us, is they want to be able to
yes,
handle
it. Yes, he asked for that.
So you got to have a lot of compacted gravel.
Pardon?
You have to have a lot of compacted gravel.
Yeah.
That's all right. We've got it.
Because the rest of the other sides of these homes, they can fight it pretty much from the road. So this is going to be their one point of attack from the middle, which is a great idea. So we'll give them something good and solid to drive into.
That will be.
All
right.
Or any other questions for Mr. Combs? Any other follow-ups from last month that you didn't see before we go to the next one?
Well, let's see. Just to review, we had the referral to the fire department and get a letter from the chief. He did that. We had DOH referral. We investigated that with the outcome of the septic system, and I also had an update on the water. Indicate mobile home setbacks from the septic and the property lines. I think that was done. The lead agency status was declared. I didn't get anything back. And then we set the public hearing.
So with that, let me go ahead and open the public hearing for Louise Combs.
Yes, over here. Yes.
And we'll ask if anybody has a question or a comment or a concern about this project, that they please state their name and their address for purposes of the recording. So with that, we'll ask anybody have any questions for this applicant.
We had no written correspondence.
Nothing further there. Or any further questions or comments for the applicant as it relates to public hearing?
Sure. All right, so the three homes that are coming off of Fort Hill Road in the west, northwest one, okay, they have a driveway that's right on the boundary line. Is that a permanent location, or can we get that set back from the boundary?
Where are we? Okay. Yeah, 610 feet from the point out, but you put it any place you want it.
Are we talking right here, Chad?
No, the other end up here. It's following the boundary line.
Where is it
then? It'd be nice to have a setback of about 10 feet from that boundary line if you could do it.
But wherever you need it.
That's for your sake.
I know that. Right now, it's calculated. It's open. You got the equipment. You got the land. You do it any way you want.
Just thinking as far as your terms, it might be easier to set back away from that boundary a little bit.
Which one's that?
The one up on next to the
property.
Oh, the one that's for the existing homes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right on that boundary line. And I'm assuming it's just on the boundary line, but it'd be nice if there was a setback from that. Up the course of the road.
Yeah.
Going towards your guys.
Yeah. Going towards Springfield Road.
Yeah, I know. We got possibly what would be changed.
There's three homes already existing on Fort Hill Road.
Yes.
And there's a single driveway that goes into those homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears on the map that it's running right on the boundary line. I'm just asking if you could set that driveway off a little bit from the boundary line.
Like from the end of the mobile homes to where? Where could you move the driveway to?
The right side going in is touching his property. We wanted to move that right side away from the property.
Or you move to the south. Where the driveway exists.
I mean, it doesn't look like I don't think there's a lot of room on that first mobile home to do that. Now that I'm looking at it, assuming this driveway is approximately 12 feet wide, it looks like there's about 6 feet between that and the mobile home, so.
I don't know where you could change it.
Well, we could put it on the other side of the mobile homes, but I'm not asking for that. I was just looking to see if we could get 5 feet of separation between the driveway and the boundary line, but I don't see that. So,
I've been there for more than 30 years.
Bring that up. Brian McKenzie from the land next door. I mean, me and Mr. Coleman have talked. We know what's going on there. We know how it's a little tight. He doesn't know in the next couple of years if I do start building. Now what's going on with the sewer system and all that. I also want a big building front, the new one, so we're going to build another building back like that. Is it a problem then? You know, if it's going to be a problem, I go to propose for a building. Yes, because I'm talking that building tight up against that line, or my 15-foot offset.
Right. So you're saying the driveway is an issue?
Right now, today, no.
But you're looking forward. I'll ask a more direct question to you, Mr. Combs. Is this driveway touching Mr. McKenzie's?
Well, the line border right there. It's been there for 40 years.
Okay, well, regardless, we need to know where the lines are.
Well, all right. Doesn't mean we like it. Okay. And B, if we think it's going to cause trouble, should they pathway? Well, they do driveways, shared driveways like that, but this is not a shared driveway. Well, it's not a shared driveway with the property next door. But, seem to be worth considering.
Well, I mean, there's a remediation to it. If in the future it becomes a major issue, we can always ask you to move that driveway to the,
well, this is the,
to
time
the
to
other side of the mobile homes.
But this is the time to do it, Joe.
I'm okay with where it is now. We don't know what the future is going to bring.
Well, and the thing is that technically it doesn't affect what you would be doing, because you could put a fence right down that boundary, and if it's halfway through his driveway, that's too bad. Okay.
No,
so, I mean, as long as you guys know where the boundary line is, I was just trying to, while we're here and we're doing stuff, maybe clean up some stuff and get a little separation there. Technically, if it became a really major big issue in the future, the driveway could be swung to the south and put in the backside there. So, it's not a big thing. As long as it's not over on somebody else's property. Okay. So.
No, it's not. We're good there. Board, any other questions for Mr. Combs?
You have a dumpster in there. Off the Fawn Road. The four mobile homes that are existing, there's a dumpster in there. I know this because I was coming home from something about 3 months ago, and I came down Fawn Road, and there was a really nice, big, huge fire going back in there, and I had to actually stop because I thought one of the mobile homes might be on fire. And it wasn't. It was a mattress and other items being burned behind the dumpster next to the trailer.
I haven't heard about that.
Okay. Well, I'm just making you aware
and
of
that. And I didn't. There was no dumpster.
You know there's a dumpster there. This was a dumpster. The kind of truck comes and grabs and picks up and dumps. And do you have a dumpster on site for your tenants?
No. They have their own small ones.
They have like the garbage kind that go off to the curb.
They have. We had the big ones there once, and everybody in the neighborhood filled them, and I guess I didn't get a chance to use them.
Right. I would agree that that would be an issue.
Are you saying there's one out though?
There was then.
When was
the big green one? And then behind
it.
Once ago.
And you have which trailer was it closest to?
Okay, I'm going to go with it was the one that's got the single driveway back to it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was that one. I don't remember. It was at night.
Okay.
That's why I saw it.
Okay.
And I saw a fire, and I literally stopped because I thought, my God, one of the trailers is on fire. And I backed up, and it wasn't. It was two or three people standing around a nice debris fire behind a dumpster.
I thought it was it.
If it's not your dumpster, that's fine. But if you couldn't even know whether there's a dumpster there.
It wasn't. I didn't know it.
All right. I mean, it could be somebody who was moving, and they brought in a dumpster and had them drop it, and they filled it and ran out of room and decided to burn what was left. I don't know.
I didn't know about it.
Okay. So you do not have, the reason I'm asking, you do not have any intentions of having dumpsters on site, or just the garbage cans?
Each one has their own.
Do they have to take it to the road to be picked up? Is that the garbage?
Yes, I think so. They have it all the time. I get down there quite often, and they usually right, not very far from the mobile home. Accurate portions of place, but they wheel them out and whatever they come in the when they wheel them out.
Who's responsible for maintenance as far as like yard lawn?
I am. We go and mow their own lawn, but I make sure they do. If they don't, I send somebody down to it.
So, since now we've established, because he's created a mobile home park, he'll have to follow the rules of a mobile home park. If they're not too direct, he's going to have to file a permit
right.
with the town.
It's annually inspected.
They are now. Town of Rome inspects them. Very good. And Board of Health inspects them.
What does the Board of Health do when they come down to inspect it?
Pardon?
What does the Board of Health do when they come down to inspect it?
They notify me, and I meet them down there every year. And we walk through the whole thing to make sure everything is like it should be.
So they're looking for leachate and exposed?
Yeah, I don't know. We usually
leaks.
Keep it neat. Is it more interesting to keep it neat than that? I am.
They're also looking for leaks, I would suspect, with the sanitary system, that kind of thing.
They're looking for what?
Leaks.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yep.
Exposed. Oh, if there's not any water on the ground, you know about it.
Right.
Are you responsible to pump out the tanks?
Yes.
How often do you have to pump out?
Whenever they see any cause for it. There's some of them we haven't had to do in years, and some of them we do more often. Depends on people, I suppose. How much they.
So you don't have to raise the maintenance. You pump them out every other year or anything like that.
Whenever you just wait more in the leak, and then you say, well, somebody calls and says it probably have it done the same day right now.
So you don't wait for them back up or anything. If they start having trouble, you get into it.
Just out of curiosity, are the septic tank, septic field living on record?
Yes.
They're inspected, Reed, as part of the building permit.
Okay.
So they're located in sides.
So they have to amend the soils and everything else, it's like a regular.
As per that letter that you found, that will be the case, and that should be, if there's a decision to approve this, that should be one of the conditions that the soil amendments occur. That likely would have got caught during the building permit process, but it's good to know about now.
Well, again, I was concerned because of previous problems.
Right.
So
right.
That's why I took it upon myself to make sure I had none.
Is that for all or the three new?
The three new. At the time, it was more, John, and the that was back when they were proposing 10 new homes in here or something to that effect.
Yeah.
What was the date of that letter again?
I have it here. The date of the letter was April 8th, 2016. And they were trying for 7 new homes.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Coleman?
You keep mentioning that you're trying to go to an older clientele. That's not something you're going to put on the deed of the park, though.
I haven't. And the occasion to, we just had the people that used to live there, we phased them out and replaced them with older.
To be honest with you, it's a nice idea and it's a great business model. But the reason I'm asking is I'm wondering if it's something that you're planning on putting on the papers here as far as the official site plan, that's what you're doing, it's going to be for this, or if it's something that's just your general plan at the moment, which means it could change.
This is what we have done over the years. Right now, it's up there.
As far as mail getting to these places, are there mailboxes out on the road? Is that the
idea? But they've always had.
Right.
No.
I'm fine with that. I just assumed that's what it was. It would be like a bank or two mailboxes for this
one.
Just as a sidebar, I've heard comment to the assessor who does a lot of the addressing and that the postal service now is, just for future reference on some of these larger subdivisions, they're uniformly going to stations.
Right.
Where all the mail comes to one delivery point instead of individual mailboxes.
To be more efficient.
Yep.
Mr. Greenwood on Redmond Road, the 17th, he has that.
That's what we've seen.
Subdivisions, you'll not get door-to-door mail delivery when you get a box drop.
At one location.
No
kidding. So,
you and Michael on the front, I have 4 tenants, and making that all those $3,000
mailboxes.
They still don't deliver them.
Don't don't change your mailboxes anytime soon.
it might be grandfathered. Yeah.
Under 40 years, that should do it.
So, Mr. Chairman, should we open this up in the public hearing?
We've got a public hearing going right now. Just seeing if there's any further questions by the board. And then once we feel like we've gotten a good point there, then we'll go through the EAF. Any further
questions? Mr.
McKenzie, you want to wait for one?
Okay, at this point, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And then we'll move quickly along to the short EAF. Questions on part one as it relates to the EAF or Mr. Cohen? I don't remember that you referenced anything in your review minutes or in your review notes that you had any issues there.
Nope. And also, he has filed his permit for the driveway on Fortsville Road with the county highway as requested.
Back there, begs the question is, we have one or two driveways that are serving three homes, three driveways that are serving three homes. All right. And then this one driveway that's serving one home that's going to act as our fire access. Okay. Are these three driveways that are feeding three homes, are they roads within a trailer park? You know, this
is Martin.
I would say no. I think you have a pre-existing condition here. And that's something you got to decide if you want to address. If you want to internalize all the access through one centralized roadway here and shut these other driveways, or leave them as a pre-existing condition.
The driveways, they can't, they won't be able to get to their...
No, but I guess that was my point. Is if they had the driveway on Portsville Road that's too close to the boundary, if that went and then connected in the back to our new 20-foot fire access driveway to Quan Road, and everything fed off that, that would most definitely be the road. Going from point A to point B.
Park Road.
Exactly. These are serving residences. There's no through traffic. Technically, no two-way traffic, but we'd like them wide enough that there is, people don't bump into each other. But I mean, in general, it's not.
My suggestion would be if you do anything new, I think it should certainly meet the standard that's required. And then it's a matter of if you want to consider this as a pre-existing situation and you leave the existing driveways as they are, or maybe try to internalize some of this traffic to that new central access.
I'm okay with either one. So how about if we went by that, then by the standard that Jerry's found, the driveway of Fortsville Road to serve the three new trailers has to be 25 feet wide. As it goes through between the two trailers to the parking in the back. Probably not a bad idea because there's kind of a blind side when you go in there to the vehicles coming out from the parking in the back. But I would highly recommend this one that we're talking about with the hammerhead be that 25 foot wide. And you're okay with that. I'm just saying that way we can address to the fire department, hey, we did this to meet your need. Okay, hopefully this solves your issue and we made it wide enough.
And so you're saying that come off of Fortsville Road only?
No, the one off of Fortsville is serving the three new trailers.
Yes.
The new one should meet the standards.
That would be 14 feet wide.
Exactly. It should be 25.
I guess I'm looking to this idea of this driveway with the hammerhead. As anything comes back in from Vaughan Road, there's a parking area delineated.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we just have that?
See, I guess
this thing coming in is built directly into that parking area.
Well, I agree with you on that, except for there was some concern from the public hearing about the traffic going out to Vaughan Road.
So, yeah, I think if you're going to go to a 25-foot-wide drive, that's never been discussed yet.
Right.
If you go to a 25-foot-wide drive on Fortsville Road, I would leave, in deference to the public comment that we received during the special permit, I would leave the Vaughan Road side alone. It's a nice, natural wooded section there,
yeah.
And there's 25 feet wide. There's plenty of access for the trucks to get in and out.
To those three new homes.
And central to the back. They can get into the back, and then they can park that truck in the back, and they can fight a fire within at least these immediate seven. The other three here off to the side are old.
As my comment earlier, I don't understand why any of them couldn't be far away from the front. I mean, really, it's you said earlier, you can see from one side to the other. It's not.
I think that's what's going to happen as a practical matter.
So you want to just say no to even the hammerhead on that single driveway. Just don't do that.
What I'm suggesting is give consideration to no new driveway off of Vaughan Road.
Okay.
Widen the one off of Forestville to 25 feet and create enough space back there for the trucks to maneuver. And they come in one location.
The only problem I'll say with that is that parking area behind those people.
Yep.
If it's anything like my personal experience with mobile home parks, it's going to be filled with vehicles and stuff. So you really have to designate an area that's fire truck turnaround area or something. Although the fire department tells me very clearly that if there's a vehicle in the way, they just to shove it right out of the way. So it's not a problem. I like that better. One problem with my hammerhead idea is I'm afraid it will become an access point.
It is a very nice natural strip there along Vaughan Road to cut in there and
right,
screw
where that out. Where that driveway is, where I'm proposing it, is where the driveway already exists off of Vaughan Road. You understand that, right? Not that wooded area next to that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
But no, that makes sense.
Driveway already exists. I just recommended widening it, and then putting a hammerhead in behind that mobile home.
So the existing one.
The existing one. Yeah.
Okay.
Putting another one.
All right.
And then it could actually, looking at what's here, I think it could all be done staying off of the septic and still not getting into the tree line that already exists there.
Yep, I think you're right.
So, I mean,
I see your point.
Well, the reason the fire chief wanted one all by itself, you cover anybody driveway, there could be a couple of car parks in that driveway. And by having its own private driveway for the fire parks.
Well, and this is the idea, is if we make that driveway 25 feet wide, and you can put signs down the one side that says do not block fire access or whatever. Anytime you're there, tell them you're not allowed to park and block that whole road. They can still park on the one side of that driveway. And you still have room to get in.
Three couples of elderly people, I don't expect that.
Well, no. This isn't that driveway. I'm talking about the one that serves. Come here,
I know what you're talking about.
There's one here that serves just one mobile home.
Yes.
And I've lost track of where I'm ranking.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. If we could widen that to the tree stop, okay? Put a hammerhead in here behind.
Yes.
Okay? So that truck can turn around.
That wouldn't be hard to do.
Okay. That gives him access to fight all of these.
That would be great. The only question he has, he's ready to find a car parked in the driveway.
No, that's what I'm saying.
If
you widen it 25 feet there,
okay,
you might still have cars parked there. You just let people know if they want to park, they can park on the left side but not the right. And you can put signs up that says fire lane.
Yes.
Must be kept open.
Okay.
And like I said, the fire department's already made it clear. If there's a car in the way, they'll hit it.
Push
up. And move it, so. But I still, my concern though is that people would be coming in that way to get into those other ones. So that, you know, I'd be happy if they left the trees back there. You know, just they could fight it from that hammerhead and just not have it be something that can be accessible. Sorry to get off on that again.
So we're back to part one of the short EAF.
Yeah.
Any questions on that?
Jerry, did that answer the 25-foot thing or anything?
The pilot.
Yeah.
So moving along to part two. Part two is the portion that asks us relative to the proposed project. Our response is one of two. It's either no/small impact may occur or moderate to large impact may occur. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan and zoning regulations?
No.
Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land?
No.
No or small. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community?
No or small.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area?
No or small.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway?
No or small.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities?
No or small.
Will the proposed action impact existing A, public/private water supplies?
No or small.
B, public/private wastewater treatment utilities?
No.
A, will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources?
No.
That's a no.
Yeah, that's a no.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, for example, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, and fauna?
No.
Ten, will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems?
No.
11, will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health?
No.
At this point, Peter likes us to ask the public if they know anything about the site that would cause us to have concern or think that it glows in the dark. Or what would you like to do with this short EAF for the Maurice Holmes site plan?
Clear the
have a motion by Reed to declare a negative declaration for the Gordy's Home site plan review. Do I have a second?
Second
by Jerry. Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes, I shall concur. Motion carries.
Now, relating to the decision, the county meeting is this week. I talked to Mike Valentine today about this. He thinks this will be covered under the MOU, but he won't know until he has a chance to look at it.
So we have no response officially from the county?
Correct.
And we got slapped last month for having...
Correct.
...taken the turn of the school.
I got slapped.
You didn't find out to pass that along, so I appreciate that.
And on the Hudson Edward Network.
Oh, right.
We moved that ahead without receiving the county.
I tried to explain, the applicant was emphatic about the, you know, financing concern, and that didn't cut any ice.
I think we made that determination that we were going to, if they did have a problem, that it was okay, we'd be moving ahead anyways. That maybe that's why they were irritable about it. Well, okay, all right, I see what you mean.
So I don't know of any anticipated county impact here, but I'm just passing along the word.
So the other option would be, our option at this point would be to wait to receive the response from the county.
Approve upon having, which we
actually, we didn't even have that condition on Hudson Edwards.
No. It was one of our board members said we're going to go ahead with it anyways, so we can override what they say, which is probably why you got the call.
Yes, and Mike Valentine quoted the case law to me, chapter and verse, that does not hold up either.
So
he is pretty knowledgeable.
Yeah, well, because he's drawn that gun many times. I do think...
We could do an approval contingent on county approval. That would handle
it. I would say contingent upon the county finding this is covered by the MOU.
Okay.
Meaning no county impact.
Right. What county-wide impact would there be?
That's for them to review and decide.
It depends on when our meeting night falls. This is a particular month where your meeting night falls pretty early in the month. Usually we're the week after them, but this is one of these months where the calendar doesn't work so well. Because if it's covered by the MOU, it's never even going to make it to their board.
Right.
He does it at a staff level. He writes the letter and to that effect. He was on vacation last week, so he's especially backed up with other things. So.
I didn't know Michael's wanted to go on vacation.
Well, I guess then, would you be comfortable, Jim, if we were to move forward with that as a condition or stipulation that we're moving forward and waiting in response from the county on their review to see whether this is covered by their MOU?
Yes.
And if we did that, then...
And if it's not, then it's got to come back next month for, you know, decision in lieu of that. And if it is covered by the MOU, then the approval can move forward and the Mylars could be signed.
Well, I mean, we have some changes anyways to the map as it is, the plan.
That's correct. What you're discussing now with this driveway is a change to the plan.
The driveway and Fawn Road and the width of the driveway off.
Correct.
So.
And with those changes, are you going to ask that you get looked at by fire again, or just go?
Out of respect to fire, I'd like to run past them and see. I mean, if they get back to us and go, no, that's absolutely horrible, then you know, we might want to.
But this guy's I guess this Mike Quinn guy is a newly elected chief.
But he made a recommendation, and we're making our considered recommendation instead of just slapping it. And
right.
I would like to at least pay him respect of sending it back to him and letting him take a look at it.
He made the suggestion first of going around that driveway that we're going to widen. He mentioned that originally when I was down there going over it with him.
Okay.
He said that the driveway would be a perfect spot for it. I told him that people park their cars here. If we make it wider, but I never had the end of it, that would make him happy.
Right, and to be honest with you, I would like, I'm not joking about on the map, I want to see where you're going to put your signage. It says fire lane, do not park.
Oh, that's not a problem.
Okay. They make signs, when you buy them, it says fire lane, do not park.
Would include the locations of those signs on the map?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that'll be one of our contingencies here, that they can go with.
How wide do you want the driveway on the Forestville Road?
The one off Forestville Road is going to have to meet the new requirements for, or the actual requirements for mobile home park, 25 feet wide.
That's fine.
Yeah. Minimum 25 feet wide. In the code, in the mobile home park code, there's design criteria for that that includes the amount of gravel you're going to need to put down, all that stuff.
Now that puts you in a different zone of here. You've got exclusion zones around those proposed mobile homes. And one you said was like a 10-foot, one was a 20-foot or whatever. On the map here.
Oh.
You have.
Reality, they're 30 feet wide.
Okay. Just make sure you've got the room, because you may have to resize a couple of the mobile homes to make room for that 25-foot instead of a 14-foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are two different driveways.
Pardon me? Yeah.
You brought in a different driveway.
No. He asked the one on Forestville Road.
Okay.
And I said the one on Forestville Road has to meet the 25-foot width.
It's already 30.
No, on Forestville Road.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The one on Forestville Road where you're proposing three more mobile homes.
Yes.
That one you have on the map here is 14 feet. It doesn't exist yet. You haven't built it.
Right.
That one needs to be 25 feet. Okay. The one off of Fawn Road that serves one mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
That's now already a little bit more than the 12 or 14. That's a pretty good size driveway.
Yeah.
That one also 25 feet with a hammerhead turnaround at the end.
That's easy.
And signage that says do not park fire lane.
That's right.
Okay? If you want, I drew it on my map, you're welcome to take that with you.
Great.
Okay. So.
Board, would you like to see these changes and the response from the county before you move forward? Or do you have a way to move forward?
I'd like to see the map of the county. So that I know the map gets the time of that.
Start on the excavating to move down park up on both roads. Getting the driveway where you want to start.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Mark?
I'm fine with that. I would prefer, I think Morris, if he could do that much, that would get you started.
Yes.
But I would, I mean, you got a lot of balls in the air here. I would maybe bring this back in October then. He can do what he needs to do, you know, with the clearing. We're all on board with that. We're all understanding that's what's going to happen. But the plan, I would, you know, table it, and then the county's going to be fine. Then we didn't do anything, and you'll have a chance to get the fire chief to understand what's going on, the plan redrawn.
So, for the purposes of the the minutes and for Mr. Cohen so that he's got a clear understanding of what it is that we'd like to see when he does come back in October. And you're doing well so far. You've got a whole bunch of hurdles that you're going through tonight.
Yeah,
the
public hearing, you don't see right now. I'd like to get some of the activated down.
Right, so that's something that you and Mr. Martin can work out offline, so to speak. But I just want to make sure that for the purposes of the drawings, that you'll bring back to us in October, and you don't have anything. When you come back in October, I want to make sure that you got what you need.
What's the question of the county now?
So the county does a review. So in certain applications, this is one of them, we'll refer to the county planning department for their review to see if there's any countywide impact on the project, if there's any other co-located development that might be going on, or one might have an impact on the other one, right? So it's almost as a curse of your technicality. We do that for projects that were required and this is one that's required. So their review is, or actually...
Later this week. Normally it times up, but their meeting is the third Monday. The way it worked out this month, it's very early, and it predates the county meeting. It's supposed to be the reverse. We need the county review before they can complete theirs. And it just didn't time up this month.
So, in lieu of what the fire department had originally suggested and proposed, and Clinton had an idea, we've gone back and with help from John, we made some notes and we'll offer up to Mr. Combs, alter the existing driveway that is coming off of Fawn Road to reflect a hammerhead style and basically have it lay out so it's 25 foot wide with hammerhead fashion so it would provide for emergency access there. And Jerry pointed out, now that we're in the mobile home park, business,
right. The
new driveway coming on Forest Hill Road needed to be 25 foot as well.
This one, this was his suggestion to start with.
If we can, I'm going to send you. Okay, so you can get everything you want.
And once those changes have been made and reflected on the drawing, I wanted to send it back to the fire department to make sure that they could.
Yeah, they're going to call the owner.
And she said that was kind of what he was looking at.
That's what he was going to start with.
Let's do that. Like I said, you need to have on the map, though, and I didn't write it on that map I just gave you. You have to have a distinctive writing on where those signs are going to go.
Yeah,
the signs that basically say fire lane, no parking.
So we want to see some signage on the drawing that would. Okay.
You want me to write that on there too? See if that.
The other thing that you talked about, Jim, was the fact that there was a letter from April 8, 2016.
Yes, where the soils for the septic systems have to be modified. You know, I would just say in your condition, the septic systems have to meet the requirements of the DOH letter from April 2016.
Yeah, do we want to know the plan for that? Or
yes. Yes.
And then the other thing is we'll get the response back from the county by October as well. Or that's what I have left. Yeah.
And we got a lot of work done tonight. We got the seeker done. We got the public hearing.
That way when we come back next month, everything is in line.
Do you understand about the soil?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what that's about?
Yes, I do. I'm doing it in the perk
test. Okay, so that's one other thing that we wanted to see.
The letter was addressed to him initially.
Right, but what Mr. Martin was suggesting is that we have a note on the plan that says that in partnership or in, as required by that letter dated April 2016, the soil.
The engineer and the mentor for the house were both there. Yeah. When they did the perk test, and they said they had to have it.
Okay.
Believe me, Morris is he's a daily visitor to me.
So, Mr. Holmes needs to have his submission back into you by when in order to make the October meeting?
Well, let's look at those dates.
The 22nd is the next, no, 15th. We're going to be at the 15th.
Still on the
28th. Yeah, we're going to be sure.
Need about the 1st.
Yeah, that's as early as it can be, so we need it by October 1st.
Yeah.
You got 2 weeks, so.
You'll hear about it.
Yeah, I will. I'll probably see you tomorrow, right?
Yep. Any other questions for us?
Yeah, October 1st.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right, Gordon.
Okay, we have one more request popped up.
We have a pop-up. And that would be for
honest drivers.
Update or a review
or
huh? You're all set.
Thank
I'll
you.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jack. Mr. Stewart has some additional information.
Mr. Stewart was right.
That's probably my dad. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Mr. Stewart?
Thank you for
how are you?
Taking time for this meeting speaker, Jim.
Sorry. Well, what happened was shortly after, I mean very shortly after, as you know, this was just approved for a three-lot subdivision. One of the neighbors who adjoins this, Mr. Donback, he's here tonight, I think. He's interested in what happens on that large piece of property that encompasses this wetland, because it adjoins his home. And they had some conversation back and forth, and what essentially is going to happen is, and Gary can show you better on the bigger map, that large area encompassing the wetland is going to be incorporated into Mr. Donbeck's existing lot. So we're not doing any more subdivision here. If this were not a planning board approved adjustment, this would be done administratively. It happens all the time. But since this was a planning board approved subdivision, any change to it has to have your approval. So we're starting with essentially two lots. We're going to be ending with two lots. Just Mr. Donbeck's lot's going to get much larger, and the one that was formerly part of the three-lot subdivision is going to get somewhat smaller. They're exchanging the land between the two lots.
So our new three-lot subdivision will not be contiguous.
Well, looks like it's a four-lot
subdivision. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't get... It's not a subdivision.
Okay,
we're amending boundary lines.
The subdivision's already done.
It's filed just as you approved.
So lots 2 and 3 have nothing to do with this situation?
Correct.
Right. Lot 1 is being subdivided.
No.
No.
It's being adjusted.
The lot 1 is being adjusted. Oh, it's being adjusted.
It's not a subdivision.
No.
Because he's not making a separate lot.
He's not making new lots.
It's attached to the adjacent lot. You see that? That's going to Mr. Beck's property.
This line right now.
Yeah, it's been disappeared.
That's going away, and this lot will all look like this now.
So
we
had that public hearing back in May for the three lots. There was like five property owners around. Mr. Donbeck. He's the adjoining property owner off the mountain road. He approached me out there in the hallway. He said he would like interest in the wetlands, be the neighbor there, more or less the caretaker. And that was a boundary line agreement. I think it still is.
Sure.
And lot 1 would still be lot 1, 2, and 3 for buildable lot. He's just doing it. And Jim stated, as long as he combines his two parts of that he has now with this piece, it'd still be one lot.
Right. Now it's just one lot.
And that's key, because in order for this to be a lawful lot, it has to have frontage on a town road.
That's right.
How do you make that determination? Does that distinction come from us that the sale can't, or the lot line can't be adjusted without attaching it? I mean, is that something that you handle administratively and we're just giving a thumbs up to it, or is that...
No. This would require a resolution. You're amending your prior subdivision to accommodate this boundary change. We're changing the boundary of the lot.
Are we changing two boundaries? Two points?
Yes. Essentially, yes, you are. That's
correct. We are separating
We're not creating any new lots.
No.
It's not a subdivision, but we are adjusting the boundary line in two places.
Sure, you do that in any subdivision? I mean, if it was 50 houses, could you take four lots and just take the lines out and make it all one?
As long as we're not doing
yes, you can. I see lots merged all the time. Matter of fact, we just did it with Morris Combs' lot, if you recall. He had three or four substandard lots that were merged, and that's a good cleanup because now we're taking what were pre-existing non-conforming lots, and now it's a conforming lot. And we do, anytime this is done, we have to make sure that the standards in the code are met, meaning that there's frontage on a town road, the lot is of a proper minimum lot size, and that all the dimensional requirements of the zoning are met. In other words, the setbacks, the lot width, and all that. As long as that all occurs, this is something that can be approved. It's done administratively all the time on pre-existing lots. When it involves a planning board approved subdivision, it requires your approval.
And look, this is, in my opinion, I'm going to state for the record, this is a good move. This puts that property, which already has an existing home now, will have an existing home on it. Nothing's going to happen near the wetlands.
Yeah.
If somebody wants the wetlands, it's a good thing. I think we all expected the home would be built up in that odd shaped area near Mountain Road anyway.
You'd be a good caretaker.
Somebody wants that property.
1979.
I can see somebody might potentially want to build some house out there, but all that's going to do is disturb the area. So, yeah. In my opinion, this is a
poor. Just out of here, how much acreage is that added on the rest of that?
I think it's 27, 31, something like that.
23, so over there.
17, I can't remember exactly, but it'll be like
24
acres. 23, 7.
And the other lot one coming off the mountain, that's going to be a young couple building a new house. They only wanted 3 acres. They don't need that eyeball bottom.
Things worked out for the best.
I think so.
Now,
absolutely.
Just as a procedural step, you have to decide as a board, is this a material change in the subdivision that warrants another public hearing, or is it minor in nature and you can just approve it without it? I don't think anything's being done here that wasn't already accommodated in the original subdivision. As a matter of fact, I think Jerry makes a good point. In some ways, there's additional protections now built in.
Yeah, it's a cleanup. It's an enhancement of the original.
Right.
I don't believe that a public hearing is in need.
I agree.
And then to your point, then, Jim, what we would need is a resolution that reflects these two boundary line adjustments.
The board approves it.
And do you have to reference the previous review and approval and when we did that and the dates and such? We need to get that into the resolution. Tie it together.
I'll play the resolution would you like
for the Western Arkham adjustment you're making.
Here. Yeah. That's going to cut that lot, and then right here.
So there,
that's going to attach it to this lot.
What is that blue line right down here where that kind of leads together?
Right here?
Yeah.
That was a lot anyway. That lot was there.
That was kind of
this was lot three, this was lot two.
So that was a mistake putting that blue line there because we're not changing anything. But it's hard to put pink over blue.
You're going to back.
You put blue over pink. Right. Putting pink over blue.
You said two, I saw three up there. So
yeah.
Kind of like, okay.
So it was the original part.
But that was already a break there.
Oh, no, so we're going to appreciate that.
I'll try to do better now.
No, you did fantastic.
And the other thing we had to make sure of is before this could be brought to you here, we had to make sure the prior subdivision got filed.
Right.
Because it was all predicated on that being recorded. And then once we had that done, then we had the lot we could work with to do this change.
Understood.
Well, I'm going to agree with Jerry. When this was first approved, my concern was that lot one house wasn't going to end up where you're showing it.
Wonky.
It was going to end up somewhere else in the back.
That's right.
Okay, well, a little compound back there.
Somebody wanted to spend a lot of bill.
Yeah.
You never know.
It could be done. Okay.
You can still build a house back there.
No.
if somebody starts a house on that lot,
if someone tore down,
yeah, tear down
30 years ago, if they're down back sold, the team's gone, so we tear that house down.
Sure. Yeah.
They can put some back in, we can only do one house.
No, actually, he's got a point. How wide is the road frontage?
He's got
down
the
back sold.
He could do a flat.
He could do the frontage, so he could do a flat lot after that.
See some crazy stuff.
I'm going to claim, Mr. Donway, I claim on my end. You can put any stipulations you want in there that nothing can ever be built in that you want. Because I'm just going to leave it as is. I made that little firewall off once in a while. But the only reason I'm buying it is to protect myself from something going back.
If you want to stipulate to no further subdivision of that lot,
no.
Then you okay.
I think we could.
Not allowed to be.
I don't know that we have the right to do that.
Do we have the right to do that? Well,
look at it.
If there's a basis, my feeling would be you would. If you feel that there's a basis to do that, then you could stipulate to that. 26. The basis would be the wetland. You know, protection of the wetland?
The wetland has its own protections.
That's true. I'm just saying you could do it. It's belts and suspenders, but...
I mean, I'm going to assume that nobody would want to do that anyway, but you don't know. But it's none of it. As far as I'm concerned, we don't
know. You don't know tomorrow.
But it's true.
Boy, you said mouthful there.
I don't think we need to do...
3 5 years.
No.
You got it.
Yeah.
So someday we're going to have a workshop on that subdivision off of Route 9.
Oh, what not to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Off of Route 9 subdivision. Time left.
Oh. Now
as I understand, it was a former highway superintendent's parcel.
Oh, that.
The lot line that's being added.
Oh.
That's the adjustment for lot line, the blue line on that map. That line is. Has got some direction, length of bearing.
It's in that, the plan that you have.
Yeah.
That you got with the
submission
you
had right here.
That's
I have no chance of reading what that. I'm just saying, if we want a really clean motion, do we need to state that that becomes the new lot line? It's the line shown on the map that is X feet long.
It's reflected at 155.63 and titled.
I would do that. Yes. And then obviously I will do your usual thing where it's subject to signature by the chairman and another member,
right.
Because it will need to be signed before they can file it. And that way you get a chance to review it and make sure it's as you envisioned it.
So it's 155.63 feet long.
Yep, and it's called new lot line.
Okay. Is there a bearing?
Yep, north 56 degrees.
Yep.
31
this one.
Minutes. 48 seconds. East.
Okay.
And then there's also a reference for the back side of Mr. Donbeck's property if you wanted to.
Yep.
That's called the original lot line.
Yep.
No, it doesn't have a dimension.
I just have one question for Mr. Donbeck. You currently have two lots?
Yes.
And you're merging them?
Yes.
That's key. Because I think that provides the frontage. Yeah. Unless
one
they're merged.
One of the lots now is land lot.
Correct. So.
Okay, so you're bringing three lots. Or, yeah, your two lots.
That's key to have the frontage. They have to be merged.
So he's merging.
We got my surveyor that did this. He's going to do that new map. I'll bring it into Jim. And then the chairman and one other party will sign it.
So that's.
So the house that's on Mountain Road is lot one.
Yes.
There's a lot that's contiguous or abutting.
There's a lot behind it that is totally.
The second lot. Yes, I do know that. So
that's key. That has to be merged.
That has to merge first, correct?
Yeah, my lawyer's working.
As part of this.
Yeah, it'll all be done at the same time.
So can we approve this until it is lot, first lot, his first two lots are merged?
Yes, it'll all be done.
No, you can. That'll be the plat you sign that shows that it's all merged and it's all one contiguous lot.
So you're technically unsubdividing three lots.
Correct.
I don't know what I'm doing.
This again, if it, it This is a cleanup.
It is.
It's a good, we're taking what now is a landlocked parcel that is unlawful, and it's now going to create one contiguous lot that meets the zoning and has frontage on a public road. It's a good thing.
I think so.
More ways than one.
Yeah.
And a lot of my neighbors know what's going on. They're happy with it.
And now, Peggy Jenkins and I have an argument about this. She hates it.
She hates us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good for her. That's a good thing. Get her blood.
Keeps me on my toes. This particular thing that this happens all the time, and I approve it. Well, I like it. They cleaned up all these.
I don't have the same copy of the survey you guys have.
Just kidding.
So
I just need a magnifier.
I guess we'll just have to get this.
Here we go.
Just need Ron's eyes.
There we go.
I think it's 212.38 feet.
That's insane. This writing, but I just can't.
212.38.
Jim, you have PDF.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
112.38, yep. And that's north 25.58.
Yep. That's going to be quite the resolution.
I'm trying.
I'm trying to slow down the design part.
See what's going to happen. This is going to be kind of bad.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you just saved us all.
And then this is going to be a whole separate lot.
Okay, so then the motion would be for changing the lot line, and then I'm seeing a condition is that Mr. Donbeck must merge his two existing properties
with this additional.
He needs to do that in order to provide more frontage.
Yep, correct.
As a new large lot. Other conditions?
I'm confused, but that's okay. I'm still doing
it. Sorry, you're going.
just pretend it's Congress.
Yeah.
No, all right, so then it would be.
So he's going to merge it by.
Please don't pretend it's
Congress. We'll have a 10% approval rate and 90%
reelection. I think we already have a 10% approval rate. We don't have to get elected, so.
It was less than 10%.
And correct.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jerry, we're ready for it. I will make a motion to approve the lot line adjustment, right?
Yep.
Okay.
To the planning board approved subdivision.
Planning board approved subdivision, specifically to create a new boundary at a lot line 155.63 feet long, at a bearing of north 56 degrees 31 minutes 48 seconds east, and then to remove a section of the lot line 212.38 feet at a bearing of north 25 degrees 58 minutes 20 seconds west, with the condition Mr. Donbeck must first merge his properties to provide road frontage for the new lot of parcels.
That'll do it.
I have a motion by Jerry. Do I have a second?
Yes. Yeah, I need to have a motion not be perfect. I was looking, hoping his bigger map had bigger numbers so you'd be sure on that 228-foot thing. I need that.
No, I think he's right.
It looked good to me, but then again, I...
Well, that's what I can read on here.
Right. Best I can come up with.
So this is what we have for the... This is what's been submitted. So we've got to go by that.
Yep. That was a motion by Jerry. Is that a second?
I'll be glad to second that.
I have a motion by Jerry and a second by Reed. Any further discussion? Which call the vote, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes, I shall concur. Motion carries. Or do you have something else that you'd like to do for this afternoon? You'd like to make a motion? Maybe about the
Mylars. Both the chairman and one other member signed Mylars and present.
Motion by Jerry. Is that a second?
I'll second again.
And
second by Reed. Any further discussion? Not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So I concur. Motion carried. I had to help Jerry out. He's in such a role.
Thank you.
Motion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it. With us, Mr. Beck.
I appreciate you doing something like that.
I'm glad to see neighbors working together. Yes. 2 Mylars. And bring in a couple paper copies for yourself. We keep one, you file the other. 2 Mylars off. Yep. That's it.
I'll take a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
I have to drive safely.
I have to drive safely.